It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Friday, December 10th, 2010. I'm John Moe. A dragon flew into space, you guys. Well, not a real dragon.
Dragon is a capsule.
An unmanned space capsule. It made it to space and returned safely to Earth Wednesday, the first private craft to do so. It could be a sign of things to come for the space program. Roger Lanius is senior curator of the Division of Space History at the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum.
It has the capability to haul, or ultimately it will, have the capability to haul cargo to the International Space Station. And ultimately, if that proves out, we're going to the intent is to develop a version of the Dragon capsule that has life support and the capability for astronauts to fly in it.
The Dragon was carried by the Falcon 9 booster. Falcon pushes Dragon into space, and launched by a company called SpaceX. They got funding from NASA, but SpaceX built it. Scott Pace is director of George Washington University's Space Policy Institute. Scott, how hard was this to pull off?
In terms of having a private sector firm under NASA contract do it, it was quite impressive. It was quite impressive for a relatively new vehicle. It was quite impressive to demonstrate a return capability that worked successfully. Getting to orbit is incredibly hard. Getting back from orbit safely is even harder. The capability is certainly something that's existed in industry and in the U.S. For a long time. But for a new relatively new company to do it with a relatively new vehicle and demonstrate that end-to-end in a flight test that appears to be as successful as it was, that's a very impressive achievement.
Why is it so hard?
Because you have to make something go 17,500 miles an hour to get to orbit. And then you
That's
have to
hard.
Slow it down from 17,500 miles and land it safely. The massive amount of energy that you're trying to manage both going up and coming back.
Scott Pace says the launch was a triumph of engineering and of economics, but in terms of technology, not that big a deal.
There were not any major technical breakthroughs required for SpaceX, but you have to then reduce it to practice. I mean, anybody can design a rocket on paper. It's another thing to actually fly it.
Why don't you want technological innovations for commercial systems? Because you don't want something to go wrong?
Because you don't know if it's going to work. In terms of major technological breakthroughs, you don't want to plan on them. It's it's sort of like planning on having a large inheritance show up.
Right.
You can hope for it, but you can't plan on it.
So where do we go from here? Like, when can we get in the rocket? Roger Lanius from the Smithsonian says we're on the right path, but it's a long path.
The fact that they've got Falcon 9 to fly, that's a big step forward, and that they've had some flights now, and they'll have to do some more obvious tests of the rocket to make sure that it's reliable. And that's a tough test. As these test flights become more complex and doing more things, they will uncover problems and they'll have to fix those. So that's part of it. The next part is the capsule itself. At every step of the process, it has to become more capable and be able to satisfy more requirements. And the ability to fly it into space and bring it back and recover it is an important step, but it's a long way from where we'll ultimately want to be with a version of this that can fly astronauts.
Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. Amazon's UK store is selling an ebook containing excerpts from the recent WikiLeaks cables. This after Amazon kicked WikiLeaks off the Amazon servers they were renting, citing copyright violations. Amazon says since the ebook has original commentary and excerpts, not whole cables, there's no conflict. Meanwhile, a 16-year-old boy in the Netherlands was arrested for taking part in online attacks against Visa.com, MasterCard.com, and PayPal. Those sites had blocked donations to WikiLeaks. Producer Larissa Anderson is here with a story you may have missed.
But when you Googled, Google released its annual Zeitgeist report. It's what people Googled in 2010.
And some of these are no surprise. World Cup, oil spill, Olympics.
The top three fastest rising items, Justin Bieber, iPad, and number one, chat roulette.
Chat roulette, yeah. It was huge briefly in 2010. It's a site for video chats with strangers, but it quickly got a reputation.
Yeah, for being a place where people share a little too much.
Yeah, I love the top 10 fastest falling items on here. Swine flu, MySpace layouts.
Susan Boyle.
Ah, I wonder if we'll see Justin Bieber on that list next year. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.